Blog Talk Radio.
Radio and around the internet world, this is the one and only, the phenomenon, the most must-hear podcast on blogtalkradio.com. I say it all the time, but it's only because I mean it. And of course, it can only be one, GKS, a.k.a. The George Kennebrew Show. This is episode 39. We are on the brink of the 40th episode. And we are also, believe it or not, close to the 4th of July, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. We are only 24 hours away. It is July the 3rd here on this wonderful Tuesday evening here at 1 after 9. And, of course, you know, 4th of July, that's a very big holiday for our nation. It's Independence Day. It's a time where families get together and they gather and, you know, they eat a lot of good old American food and, you know, they laugh and they dance and they play music and, you know, just do all types of fun stuff, you know, that you would do in the summertime. So it's definitely one of the more wonderful holidays of the year. And I hope you all definitely take advantage tomorrow and spend it with your family, friends, or the ones that you're closest to the best way you can. But all in all, just have fun. Just celebrate each other. You know, no drama, no nothing like that. You know, let's just take a day where, you know, we could just flush all of that stuff out of our systems and just laugh and enjoy each other, because that's what life's all about, right? Right. Okay, now that I've got my Independence Day public service announcement out of the way, welcome to the George Kennebrew Show. Like I said, this is the 39th episode. Next week, we will be reaching episode number 40. That is really, really big. It's just a blessing and a privilege to, you know, even last this long to get to 39 episodes. So, you know, it's just great. And I thank all of you fans, well, not fans, let me not say that. I thank you, all of my loyal listeners and supporters, my GKS faithful, as I like to call y'all. I thank you all for constantly tuning in, those that are tuned in right now on Blog Talk Radio every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock to listen to me give you the best mixed martial arts content that I could possibly give you. So I thank you all so, so much. Got some pretty good stuff on the show for you tonight. Going to be talking UFC 226. Yes, it is fight week, ladies and gentlemen. We've got the big one coming up this Saturday night from Las Vegas, Nevada. UFC 226, as you know, it will be headlined by the much-anticipated world heavyweight title fight between Stipe Miocic and Daniel Cormier. And that will be followed by the co-main event, which will feature Max Bless Holloway and Brian T. City Ortega for the UFC Featherweight Championship of the World. And we got another good fight that I'm looking forward to. It'll actually be a grudge match, and it's going to be between two hard-hitting UFC heavyweights in the Black Beast, Derek Lewis, and he will be taking on the recent UFC heavyweight contender Francis the Predator Ngannou. So it's definitely going to be a stacked card. And speaking of which, that's the first thing that we're going to kick off tonight for our UFC insight. And a course, to close the show, I got some big news to tell you all about concerning a fight that we had recently discussed here on GKS a couple of months back, but I'll get to that later on. But right now, let us talk about UFC 226, because, I mean, hey, that's what everybody is talking about now, right? Right. Okay, so let me pull up this card here. Okay, here we go. Just let it pull up here. Cool, cool, cool. All right, all right, all right. Okay, so the time has come for UFC 226. This is the one that we've been building towards. This is the one we've been talking about for a long, long time. And now it is finally here. As I mentioned earlier, it's going to happen on pay-per-view, 10 o'clock on the dot Eastern time, from Las Vegas, Nevada, at the world-famous T-Mobile Arena. And I got to tell you, looking at this card, boy, man, if this is not one of the better cards of 2018, then, you know, the UFC just basically did themselves a disservice. I mean, even the preliminary card is stacked, which is where we'll start, as always. So, without any further ado, let's go ahead and dive face first into UFC 226 predictions. All right, so we've got Max Griffin versus Curt Millender. Max Griffin is 13-3. Curt Millender is 15-3. Obviously, two young talents going to come out and kick the preliminaries off right. Both guys very evenly matched, very well-rounded. But I'm going to take Max Griffin, I'll say by submission. And then, let's see. Of course, y'all know I don't always go in order when I'm doing this stuff. Let's talk about Paul Felder versus Mike Perry. I like this one. The Irish Dragon. Hadn't seen Paul Felder in a while. He's been, you know, doing his thing in the commentary booth. Been doing a decent job at that. Personally, I would love to see him, you know, just stick to fighting inside the octagon. No diss towards him, but that's just my opinion. But anyway, he will be getting back inside the octagon this Saturday night, and he's going to be going up against Mike Perry. Longtime UFC competitor. And this fight, if I'm not taken, yes, it is going to be a welterweight contest. So it's definitely going to be a good one because the welterweights, they definitely bring it. Okay, Paul Felder is 15-3. Mike Perry is 11-3. Paul Felder, we know, is a striking machine. We've seen that on display in most of his fights. Mike Perry, very good on the ground, but is an overall mixed martial artist and will win at any cost. But as far as this fight goes, I'm going to have to go with the Irish Dragon, Paul Felder, and I think he's going to win this fight by TKO. And then we have another exciting bout here between two very exciting flyweights. And that is going to be between Rafael Assuncao taking on Rob Font. Rafael Assuncao was 26-5. Rob Font is 15-3. We know what Rafael brings to the table. We know what Font brings to the table. Basically, somebody's got to win and somebody's got to lose. And the person that I think is going to be losing this fight, unfortunately, is going to be Rob Font. So I'm going to pick Rafael Assuncao by submission. And then last but certainly not least, rounding out the preliminary card in another good fight that is going to be, let's see, is this at middleweight? Yes, it's okay. You know, Uriah Hall's so big, you know, you can't tell if he's a middleweight or a light heavyweight. But, okay, this is going to be at middleweight. Paulo Costa versus Uriah Hall. Paulo Costa is 11-0. Uriah Hall is 13-8. Paulo Costa, very good jiu-jitsu practitioner. And, of course, we all know about primetime Hall's spectacular striking abilities. This one is actually a slight tough one to call. Just the simple fact that, you know, it'd be easy to say, you know, Uriah Hall loses this fight because, you know, he's been away from the octagon for a while. But that's exactly what I said when Uriah Hall faced Gegard Mousasi. And Mousasi was the one that ended up losing when I picked Mousasi to beat Uriah Hall. So, even if I am wrong and Hall does get finished or, you know, get outpointed in this fight, I'm going to give Uriah Hall the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to say he can win this fight, and I'll say it'll be by TKO. So there you go. And that is your preliminary portion of UFC 26. Now, getting down to the nitty-gritty, the part of the event that we're all wanting to see, and that is the main card of UFC 226. And I think I'm going to go in order with this one. So the first fight that we have is Khalil Roundtree versus Gokhan Saki. If you remember Khalil, he was a participant on The Ultimate Fighter a couple of years back. So he does have some experience behind him now, and we can officially label him a veteran in the UFC, but he is taking on a guy that is a living legend in his own right in the kickboxing world. I've been watching Gokhan Saki for a while, you know, when the, you know, glory fights, you know, were coming on television on a consistent basis. I don't think they come on as consistently anymore. But when they did, I definitely tuned in, and Gokhan Saki is definitely one of the guys that caught my attention. This guy is lightning quick standing up. He's got wicked kicks, wicked elbows, combinations, all of that good stuff. Khalil Roundtree definitely is going to have to bring his A game. Even though Saki is 1-1 in mixed martial arts, do not let that fool you. This guy's striking prowess is something deadly. And Khalil better not take that lightly, or he's going to end up with his eyes rolled up in the back of his head. But I don't know. This is another tough one because you can't count out Roundtree either because, you know, this guy is a very good grappler and probably does have the ability to take Gokhan Saki down and keep him grounded. But you know what? I'll go ahead and take a gamble on this one too, and I'm gonna pick Gokhan Saki here by TKO. But it would not surprise me at all if Khalil was able to ground him for most of the fight and eke out a decision here. But who knows? But I'm gonna take the gamble and pick Gokhan Saki here by TKO, and then. After that fight, whew, man, now this one is going to be awesome. If this fight is not considered a fight of the night candidate by the end of the night, I don't know. I'm going to boycott the UFC. No, I'm just playing. But no, this is going to be a good fight. The Maverick Michael Chiesa against Anthony Showtime Pettis. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Oh. What can you say about these two? I mean, how can you even pick a winner in this fight? I mean, we know the guts and the resilience of Michael Chiesa, and the same thing with Anthony Pettis. I mean, we know Michael Chiesa has a mean grappling game, and we all know Pettis' reputation on the feet, although he has displayed good jiu-jitsu of his own over the past couple of years. Man! Oh, goodness, I don't know. I don't know, y'all. You know what? Oh, geez. This is such a tough one. Oh, this is such a tough one. You know what? I'm just going to go with my gut here. And I'm going to pick Michael Chiesa. Just because I've seen him go in there with some of the best in his division and win. And if he didn't win, he was able to hang with them. And I don't think Michael Chiesa is going to be afraid to come forward and press Anthony Pettis around the octagon and try to stave off those explosive strikes of Pettis. And then, too, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if Pettis won this fight either. You know, lately, Pettis just hasn't been himself, at least from what I've seen. But maybe he might surprise me, and we might get, you know, some of that old lightweight champion Anthony Pettis, you know, top contender Anthony Pettis back here for this night. I mean, it'd be exciting if we did, but I'm going to go with the Maverick, Michael Chiesa, and I'm going to say this fight goes the distance, and I say Michael Chiesa wins a competitive split decision. Now, for the next fight, unlike the fight that we were just talking about, this fight will not go to decision. Why? Because it's the heavyweights. I mean, when have you known the heavyweights to go to a decision but on a rare occasion? I mean, come on. This is the knockout division. And when you talk about knockouts, you got two guys here that could do it with the best of them. And those two guys are none other than Derek the Black Beast Lewis and the Predator Francis Ngannou. Derek Lewis is coming off, a up-and-down streak. You know, he had lost to Mark Hunt recently, but he had bounced back not too long after that against Marcin Taruba and got a knockout there in the third round. So, you know, like I say, he's been kind of up and down, but, you know, he's still, in my opinion, Derek Lewis is a top contender in the heavyweight division. And if he can put away Francis Ngannou, there's no doubt about it that this guy is definitely going to put himself in the conversation as far as the championship is concerned. But on the other hand, it's going to be no small task or no easy task, I should say, because Francis Ngannou is going to be motivated. He's going to be hungry, especially after his performance against Stipe Miocic. You know, he said earlier this week that he felt like he had what it took to beat Stipe, but he felt he wasn't ready. And he said that fight definitely was a learning experience for him. And he's definitely taken some time out to develop his skills. And that's a very scary thought for any opponent. I don't care who you are. The thought of Francis Ngannou evolving as a better, well-rounded fighter while still maintaining that violent striking skill that he has, that is going to be a nightmare. And with that being said, as far as the prediction is concerned, again, this is a 50-50 fight here, y'all, as far as picking a winner. Jeez. I mean, Derek Lewis has the power, but Ngannou has power too. But, man, I guess what it's going to come down to is who's going to be able to maneuver around the other, because to you know, Derek Lewis's credit, okay, why did I just say his name like that? To Derek Lewis's credit, he may not be the fastest guy in the heavyweight division, but he does have some movement. I'll say he has subtle movement. It's definitely not, you know, Dominic Cruz or, you know, Demetrius Johnson-esque or Frankie Edgar. But, you know, he does enough to get out of the way of taking punishment. But I'll say this. If he decides to come straight at Francis in the center of the octagon, then Francis is going to catch him, bar none. Bar none. Because that's exactly what happened when he fought Mark Hunt. He came straight at Mark Hunt and got into an exchange and fell right into Mark Hunt's game plan, and he got walloped. So, oh, man. You know what? I'm going to go with Francis Ngannou. I'm going to go with Francis Ngannou. As much as I love the Black Beast, I'm going to go with Ngannou here because I just feel like he's just going to be, like, laser-focused, and I think he's going to want to look to make a statement in this fight, especially after the fight with Miocic turned out. So I'm going to go with Francis Ngannou by violent KO. But, I mean, who knows? This is going to be a slugfest, so it could go either way. But if I had to pick somebody, I'd go with Ngannou. So there you have it. And then going on to the main event, or I'm sorry, the co-main event. Sorry, y'all, got ahead of myself there. Going on to the co-main event, which is going to be another tough fight to pick. This might be, in my opinion, let me just say this. This might be one of the most anticipated, highly anticipated, I'll say, featherweight championship matches of all time. This probably might be one of the most anticipated featherweight championship matches in the UFC since Conor McGregor, Jose Aldo. I'm just saying. Because you've got two guys that are young, in their prime, and, you know, have just been rapidly just been taking everybody out that's been put in front of them. So we're going to see Max Bless Holloway against T-City Brian Ortega. Holloway is 19-3, although his winning streak would justify otherwise. And Ortega, I mean, he's just been like a buzzsaw all of this time. So there you have it. But it's really not too – I mean, we all know these guys' skill sets and what they bring to the table, so we don't have to really go into that per se. All I'm going to say is it's going to come down to which guy can basically take advantage of the other guy's mistake, because I think both of these guys are evenly matched. I think this is going to be a ultra-competitive fight. Both guys don't quit. Both guys can finish the other at any given time. It's going to be all about who takes advantage of the other's mistake. You know what's funny? Leading up to this fight, I was thinking, like, okay, Max Holloway has been away from the octagon for a while, hasn't fought since he beat Jose Aldo, as a matter of fact, I want to say. I think that's the last time he fought. Let me look it up real quick, because I know he hasn't fought recently. So, yeah. That was his last fight against Jose Aldo, and that was, wow, that was in December of last year. Man, oh, man, oh, man. You know, it'd be easy for me to sit up here and say, okay, well, he's going to be rusty and, you know, all of this other stuff, but when you talk about great fighters and when you talk about champions and ring rust, you know, we saw Dominic Cruz come back and win the, the Bantamweight Championship after being out of action for 4 years against TJ Dillashaw. So, you know what? I'm going to throw that out the window, and I'm going to say ring rust is not going to be an issue. And I think, you know, Brian Ortega, the way he's been winning these fights in quick fashion, I don't think He's never been in a five-round fight before. I mean, you know, his competitive ego can camouflage it all he wants to and say that he's ready. But you never know if you're ready until you actually get in there and actually have been in it before. And I don't think Ortega has experienced this type of atmosphere before. Not saying that this is going to be an easy fight for Holloway, because it's not, because Ortega can definitely beat Holloway and become the new featherweight champion, no doubt about it. And it wouldn't surprise me if he does, because he made a believer out of me when he beat not only Cub Swanson, but Frankie Edgar. And those guys are not the easiest guys to beat. But I'm going to have to go with the chant here, man, because, you know, it's just something about Holloway, man. He's just got that special something, that just that extra gear, and he just has a knack for really, really taking it to the next level in championship fights and in big fights. So I'm gonna go with the champ here, man. And I say if he doesn't finish Ortega in the third or fourth round, I say he's going to win a competitive, razor-sharp split decision. It'll be very, very close. I'm going to go with the champ here, Max Holloway. And then finally, to the main event, and this is probably going to be the hardest one to pick, for the UFC Heavyweight Championship, this is definitely a super fight in its own right. Don't let nobody tell you that it's not. Stipe Miocic going up against Daniel Cormier, two of the very best fighters in the entire world. You know, two guys that have had similar paths to get to the point where they are now. Daniel Cormier moving back up to heavyweight, challenge Stipe for the world title. It's funny how a lot of people are not giving Stipe a chance in this fight because of Daniel Cormier's, you know, dominant style and just how he's able to just, you know, smother his opponents once he gets them in the clinch and presses them up against the cage. People forget Stipe Miocic is an accomplished collegiate wrestler in his own right. And plus, he's been training with the legend. In case you didn't watch the UFC 226 countdown, this guy has been training with Mark the freaking Hammer Coleman, the first ever UFC heavyweight champion. I mean, come on. Come on. I mean, yeah, Daniel Cormier trains with Cain Velasquez. Yes, Cain Velasquez, despite, you know, his setbacks, is one of the best UFC heavyweights of all time, bar none. There's no denying that. But Cain Velasquez does not compare to a nationally known legend like Mark the Hammer Hunt. I mean, come on. That's a big feather in Miocic's cap. Basically, much like the Max Holloway-Brian Ortega fight, it's going to come down to who can take advantage of the opportunities given to him. Because we know Cormier is going to want to slow the fight down. He's going to cut the cage off, and he's going to want to press Stipe up against the cage, dirty box him, you know, and eventually get that inside leg trip and take him down and, you know, and beat him up from, you know, side control or in the crucifix position. And we know Stipe is going to want to stick and move and, you know, get that jab going and try to land that big right hand on Cormier and, you know, possibly just try to keep Cormier in the middle of in the center of the octagon. So, you know, he can, you know, be in boxing range and, you know, try to keep Cormier guessing with his footwork and his head movement and, you know, just try to land as many shots to the body and the head as he possibly can, because we know Stipe will do that if you give him that opening. And in the past, We have seen Cormier get dropped, a la John Jones, a la Alexander Gustafsson, a la Anthony Rumble Johnson. So, you know, it's not like Cormier hasn't, you know, has just completely dominated strikers that are better than him. You know, if you can get a clean shot on Cormier, you know, you can beat him. So, man, this fight is so tough to call. Man, oh, man. Jeez. I don't know, y'all. I don't know. I'm torn. Because I've doubted Daniel Cormier before. Matter of fact, it was in the Alexander Gustafsson fight. I had doubted Cormier. And, you know, he proved me wrong. And I had also doubted him in the Rumble Johnson fight, the second encounter. And he proved me wrong there. But at the same time, I've doubted Stipe, too. I doubted Stipe when he fought Alistair Overeem, and I doubted him when he fought against Werdum. So, I got to pick a winner here. Ugh. You know what? Ugh. I'm going to go with Stipe Miocic to retain. I just think that, you know, I don't think Cormier, for some reason, is going to be able to keep up with the speed that Miocic's going to have and just the pace that he's going to fight at, because he's going to try to wear Cormier down, being that Cormier is going to be the bigger man coming in, and being that, you know, Cormier is not the fastest guy in the world, but, you know, if he could close distance on you, then, you know, he'll definitely get you. I don't know. I just see Stipe being one step ahead, man, and I see Stipe winning the decision here. Again, this is going to be another competitive, razor-sharp, right down to the wire, you know, who can do the most damage at the end of which rounds, and I could see Stipe eking it out just by the hair of his chinny-chin-chin and retaining the UFC heavyweight championship. So, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. That has been your UFC 226 predictions. You know, sometimes when you just think that you're going to have the predictions in your head of who you're going to pick to win which fight, and just when you think you're going to just be able to go through them, you just can't. That's the beauty and the unpredictability of mixed martial arts, man. You know, just when you think you know who's going to win, you really don't. So, excuse my hesitation there, folks, because, you know, that's just the way it goes. And don't get me wrong. I'm not hesitating for the fact of me worrying about being right or wrong, because, you know, I never claimed to be an expert in the first place, okay? I never claimed to be an expert. So, you know, I'm not worried about being right or wrong, because, you know, you're going to be wrong regardless, you know, no matter how many, you know, no matter how much, I should say, of the sport that you know, no matter how many fights you've seen, no matter how much you know about the fighters, you know, you don't have all the answers. And that's the thing about me. I don't have all the answers. I mean, I've sat up here and I've predicted all of these fights, but, you know, I don't have all the answers. So, you know, forgive me if I hesitated, but that's just how it goes. But I'm sticking with my opinions on UFC 226, and that's that. But moving on, we have a very special treat for all of you tonight here on the 39th edition of the George Kennebrew Show, because we have a very special interview on deck right here and now. Now, I know a lot of you GKS listeners weren't expecting this, but hey, that's the cool thing about me. I'm full of surprises. You just never know what I got up my sleeve. But I got something very good up my sleeve tonight, because we are going to be talking to a young man who's got a fight coming up at the end of this month. It's going to be on July 27th in Bossier at the Horseshoe Casino, and he's going to be fighting against a young man by the name of Quentin Nolan. So, with that being said, without any further ado, without any more time wasted, I want to welcome for the first time, and hopefully it won't be the last, here on the 39th episode of the George Kennebrew Show. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce you to none other than Mr. Quentin Henry. Quentin, how are you doing this evening tonight, my brother?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. Sorry I got caught up on the central time zone and east time zone deal. But we're here now. I got you.
Yeah, man. I mean, as long as you're here, man, that's all. That's the only thing that matters, man.
Right.
I'm just glad to have you on the show. Well, Quentin.
I'm glad to be here.
You got this. Yes, sir. I'm glad to have you on. So, Quentin, I was just telling my listeners that you got this big fight coming up on July 27th, and it's not too long from now. And I'm sure, you know, you've been preparing and training and getting your mind right. And I'm pretty sure you've done your film study and all of your homework on your opponent. So just tell us, now that you've done all of that stuff, where are you at right now mentally with only a couple of weeks out leading up to your fight against Nolan?
I'm in a pretty good place right now. I'm pretty relaxed. My weight's on point. As far as, I diet pretty much year round. Weight's not really a problem for me. And my cardio's been staying pretty good. I've been running a lot, getting some extra training in. I actually got a new little private training facility set up that it's just me and my teammates that are actually fighting, kind of getting up at 6 a.m. in the morning, beating each other up over there. Training camp couldn't be going better. As long as everything's going good in the camp, then your head's right. And, that's just where I'm at. My gym's going good, coaching, teaching, all that. So mentally I'm in a good place.
Great. Now, let's talk about the fight itself. Now, I just mentioned about, doing, your homework and studying up on your opponent, Nolan Norwood. And just from what you've seen of him, depending on how much film that you've watched, what can you tell us about as far as, what does he bring to the fight? And more importantly, what challenges does he present to you going into your fight on the 27th?
I've seen some of his film. I'm not real big on watching a whole lot of film, but more with my coaches watch the film, and I kind of just train myself and fight my fight. But from what I have seen, one of his biggest attributes is that he's a very tough guy. He has a good record. He's 9-4. He's beat some pretty big name fighters. Kyle Bradley, he has a victory over him. He seems to be tough, and he's got good cardio because he's able to last all three rounds. But, he's willing to take a lot of punches from what I've seen. And I think he's had some fights at welterweight, and I don't think he'll be ready to take what I'm dishing out. At 185, this is another level of power, and you're not going to take mine for three rounds.
Okay, all right. I'm digging the confidence, definitely digging the confidence. So when you talk about fighting a guy who's physically tough. Now, we know in our sport of mixed martial arts, like we've seen, certain fighters go in into certain fights, and when they're facing an opponent who's physically tough and it's hard to finish, sometimes we'll see fighters expend all of their energy, you know, trying to get that finish and trying to get, you know, that highlight and make that statement. But it's very rare that we see fighters, you know, kind of take their time and slowly but steadily chop their opponent down and just do enough damage in order to, I guess, find that opening where we can, you know, land that knockout shot or land that submission or those hammer fists or whatever the case may be. So I want to throw to you, you know, being that your opponent is as physically tough as you say he is, let's just say, you know, if you're winning the fight and you feel like you're about to finish the guy, but, you know, he's still, you know, continuing to come forward and taking the punishment of, you know, what you're dishing out, you know, what is the mindset? Like, how does the strategy change? Do you go into the mindset of, okay, you know what, let me see if I can just outclass this guy and win a decision? Or do you just throw caution to the wind and be like, you know what, I'm just going to throw everything that I got, including the kitchen sink, and I'm taking this dude out?
Right. Well, I mean, there's always kind of a deal with guys that are tough and hard to finish. You kind of, and as a finisher, and that's kind of how I've made my career, you know, you kind of have a goal as you want to finish them. It's not like, you know, I'm not planning on going out there and fighting for three rounds. I plan on finishing this in the first round. You know, and I've got the power and I think I've got the skill to do it. And, you know, and I don't want it to say that, you know, his toughness is his best attribute, as in that's the only thing he's good at. He's got some decent counter striking. He's got some decent wrestling on, he's got a pretty clean double leg shoot, stuff like that. But that's the biggest thing that, I think he brings to the table, because like you're saying, if you have one of those opponents like a Diaz, you know, that can sit there and get beat up for three rounds, it takes a lot of energy out of you to beat somebody up, you know? So,
it does.
As far as the game plan goes, you don't change anymore, because you know, that's what you learn in your amateur career. Is controlling that adrenaline and then blowing your wide, always having enough energy left. So, I mean, I'm training like I'm about to go out there and go Gotti Ward, you know, three rounds, just solid swinging. That's where I want my cardio level to be. But the game plan is always to go out there, pick the guy apart, work, play my game, and just use my technique and skill and timing.
Cool. Now, Quinn, I don't know if you're a guy that's all about calling your own shot or predicting your own fight, but just hypothetically speaking, if you can visualize how you finish this guy on the 27th, how would you envision finishing him?
I'm not quite sure how it's going to end, but I think it's going to end on the ground with me on top, TKO to punches, whether it's from a strike that puts him on the ground, which is what I'm predicting, I would say. Usually it's a strike that puts them down and then finish from the top. Not sure on the strike, but it could be any of them. You know, I don't want to look for a certain one. I just want to play my game and just go out there and have a good time and put on a show.
Okay, fair enough. But, I mean, it, all that matters, you know, at the end of the day is that, you know, as long as you know that you're going to go out and you're going to do whatever you can to finish the guy, no matter how it gets done, just as long as you know you're going to get it done. That's the only thing that matters. So I appreciate, you know, that mentality that you have. So switching from your fight on the 27th, which is a couple of weeks away, I want to ask you, you know, about a certain fight that's coming up this Saturday. Before you got on the line, I was just giving my UFC 226 predictions, and I just got finished talking about the main event that's happening for UFC 226, which, you know, is Stipe Miocic versus Daniel Cormier.
Yep.
Of course, Daniel Cormier is making his return to heavyweight and is going to challenge Miocic for his heavyweight championship. Mm-hmm. Now, Quentin, I had personally a hard time predicting this fight, being that these guys are so well evenly matched. They've both taken similar journeys to get to where they are. They've accomplished a lot in their career. And ultimately, I broke it down to, you know, who was going to be the guy that was going to take advantage of the opportunities given to him. And, you know, as hard as it was, I slightly gave the edge to Stipe, so I picked Stipe to beat Daniel Cormier by a razor-sharp competitive decision. But I wanted to throw it to you and kind of get your thoughts and see, you know, who do you feel might come out on top this Saturday?
Well, I'm kind of torn between this one because I'm a professional firefighter like Stipe is. That's my real job. And and then Daniel Cormier is from Louisiana. So I've kind of got a tie to both of them. And I've always liked Daniel Cormier as a person, but honestly, bro, he's the most boring guy to watch to fight, in my opinion. You know, and he is a great wrestler. He's a great wrestler, and he's a dominant fighter. I'm not saying that he's not, but it's just not the style I like to watch. Stipe, he's my boy. You know, he's a firefighter. We got that going on. And the way I look at it is, you know, Daniel Cormier is moving up to heavyweight. I think he's going to look better at heavyweight than he does at 205. Because he's not having to cut so much weight. He's going to be more comfortable there. So that presents some problems there with Stipe. I think Cormier won't have a problem carrying the weight and having the cardio to compete at that weight. So Stipe's got to look out for that. But when you look at Miocic, he's 6'4", 250 or whatever he comes in, and he's like John Jones with power. And he's got, and he can knock you out going backwards. He can knock you out going forwards. You know, John Jones ain't got no power. You know, he's just real long. But Stipe doesn't matter. If you come in there on him, he's gonna drop you, and he's got the reach. So I think that's gonna play a big factor on it too. But you know, Stipe's got the wrestling. We saw what he did with Nagano. That dude was just massive, and he was able to grind him down with you know, just classic wrestling. Cormier tries to play that game with the guy who's as big as him or bigger. You know, I don't know how well it would work. But he also beat Josh Barnett, who's, you know, is a world-renowned, grappler. So, kudos to him. It could end any second. Stipe could end it with a single punch, or Daniel Cormier could grind it out to a boring win, I think. But I'm pulling for the Stipe knockout round three.
I like that. I like that. I actually said, too, it's ironically you picked that, because as I was giving my predictions, I was saying that if Stipe did not take him out in the third round, I actually said, you know, they would end up going the distance. But being that I know, you know, how good both guys are, I just gave the fight the benefit of the doubt, and I just said they go the distance and, you know, they just, you know, decide – who the better fighter was there. But, yeah, I could definitely see that, though, because, you know, I was telling the listeners, a lot of people sleep on Stipe's mobility. I mean, that guy's got some pretty good footwork to be as big as he is. I mean, you know, we kind of saw that in his first couple of fights in the UFC when he was just coming up. You know, he would, you know, be moving that head, you know, having that bob and weave boxer-like movement and just catch his opponents coming in with that right hand that you talked about. And, I mean, a perfect example of it was against Fabricio Verdum in Brazil. I mean, look how Fabricio came in recklessly to Stipe's range and bop. Stipe just popped it, with a straight jab. Yeah.
Yeah. Backpedaling, dropped it.
Exactly. It was amazing. Like, my jaw completely dropped because I thought that I thought Fabricio had slipped or something. But when I went back and when they showed the replay, I was like, oh, snap, he actually dropped him. Like, going back. Like, it was on some Anderson Silva type stuff with Forrest Griffin.
Yeah, old sniper got him. Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Took him out. One little clip right on the butt.
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, like you said, I could definitely see that happening, Stipe catching Cormier. If Cormier's not careful, you know, in how he closes distance. But, I mean, just for my sanity and just for my sake, I think it's going to go to a decision. But, you know, who knows? It's a heavyweight fight. And, you know, heavyweight fights tend not to last too long. So, you know, you never know. One last thing I want to get from you before we let you go is I was also talking about the co-main event, and that's a fight that I'm actually looking forward to between Max Holloway and Brian Ortega. And I'm pretty sure, you know, if you're not a big fan of either Holloway or Ortega, I'm pretty sure you respect what they do inside the octagon. But I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that fight, too, because I was kind of torn between them because I like both guys. And, you know, I was thinking about, okay, Holloway hasn't been in the octagon for a while, and, you know, that ring rust thing is going to be thrown out, you know, throughout the fight. But I'm just saying, like, we saw Dominic Cruz come in after 4 years of being away, and he tore through T.J. Dillashaw. So I'm like, can you really say that ring rust is an issue depending on who the fighter is? But, you know, in the end, I lean towards Holloway because for some reason, Max Holloway just has this innate ability just to show up in the big fights, especially title fights. And
right.
No disrespect to Ortega, but Ortega just has not been in this atmosphere before. Like, he's never, the lights haven't been this bright for him. He's never been used to closing out a show and, you know, with a five round, you know, fighting for 25 minutes. I mean, I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong. He could very well upset Holloway here and come out the champion, but I don't know, man. Max Holloway, I just think he's going to be too much for him. What do you think?
If I'm putting money on it, I'm going with Holloway. Ever since he's been on a tear, he's almost on his stand up. I mean, even when he fought Jose Aldo, he just picks him apart, you know. And he had the loss from, was it McGregor knocked him out, beat him. It's like,
yeah,
after that he finally got his mind right. And like you were saying, he quit choking on fight night. He came in there as a new guy with his head clear, and like you said, when he shows up, he shows up to perform. Ortega's
yeah.
a good fighter. I've seen I had heard a bunch of hype about him, but didn't really know anything about him, and I was kind of like, oh, you know, whatever, I was blowing him off kind of deal. And then I saw him fight was it Cub Swanson he choked out with the guillotine?
Yeah.
And Cub Swanson's sick, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I saw him do that,
yeah,
and I was like, all right, this dude's for real. You know, people don't just
right.
do that, you know, to Cub Swanson.
Exactly.
Exactly. But people were saying the same thing about him when he fought Cub Swanson. You know, he's never fought a fighter like this. Cub Swanson's a veteran. Cub Swanson's this, you know, had this many attempts at the title. But he showed up and he put on a show, you know, and he shows up to perform. So it doesn't seem like he gets bothered by the pressure as much, you know.
Right.
So maybe he
right.
shows up and, like you said, he does have a good night and he's not bothered by that. And both of them just have a marvelous fight. I can't wait. It could be great. It could be
yeah.
a really great one.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, you know, we could be on the brink. I mean, just between him and Ortega and Stipe and Cormier, man, we might be looking at one of the better cards of 2018. If I had to put my money on it, I mean, if these fights really go how we think they're going to go, like, This is going to be one of the more talked about cards of the year. Like, I'm telling you,
I think the co-main event definitely has more potential to be a great fight than the main event, in my opinion. Because I think either
okay.
way it goes, unless it ends up with Ortega getting a quick submission, it's going to be. I think these guys are going to stand and throw. It's just so much more potential on it because I know Max Holloway's been trying to use that, you know, work on his ground defense, start taking them out with the long strikes. And Ortega's going to be like, okay, whatever, and start trying to throw back because he's a tough guy too. You know, I think
right.
that turned into more of an entertaining fight. You know, the other way around on the second one, we both know Danny Cormier is not going to sit there and just swing on him. You know, so he's going to be trying to grind him out and wrestle. So that would be boring. But, you know, if they end up going at it pretty good or it's like a good ground match, back and be interested to see that with the main event, man. You don't see a whole lot of those. You know, just interesting, good ground matches where people are grappling, you know, changing positions, going back and forth. I'd love to see which Stipe was a college wrestler. He wasn't Olympic level, but you know, as far as MMA goes, he's got, you know, some of the best wrestling obviously in the sport. So to see those two guys just have a real ground battle and not just stalemate the whole time, you know, it could be something
yeah.
in that too. If you're somebody who appreciates the groundwork, you know.
Exactly. Well, it's gonna be an awesome night at UFC 226. I'm definitely looking forward to it, and you know, just by your enthusiasm and your excitement, you know, it seems like you are too, and you're gonna be on hand to watch it. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to a great night of fights. Well, Quentin, we're gonna go ahead and put a bow on the interview here and wrap it up and let you go, man. I have certainly enjoyed squeezing you in here on the show. I'm so glad that we were able to put this together, and you know, just to give you a platform, and you know, to kind of get yourself out there and you know, make yourself known. This is what I'm all about here on my show. I'm all about, you know, helping others out and giving others a platform, you know, to get their names out there and get themselves known. So you know, this was a great first go round.
I appreciate it, man.
And no problem. This was a great first go round, and I'm definitely looking forward to doing this again. So please keep in touch. Like I said before, listeners, this will not be the last time you will hear this man's voice on my show. So be on the lookout for Quentin Henry on a lot more episodes of GKS in the near future. So this is a routine that I have before I let my guests go. Feel free at this time to shout out your sponsors, your team, your family, whoever you want to shout out. This is your time right now. Go for it.
I appreciate it. I want to thank my wife, my family, my dad, who's my coach, the rest of my team, Gracie Baja Calhoun, Louisiana. I've got Team Evolution is our MMA team. Appreciate Daniel Como helping me out with my physical therapy and everything. All the fans, everybody listening, I appreciate you for letting me get on the show and come and talk. It's been great. I'm looking forward to it on the fight on July 27th with American Combat Alliance in Bossier City. You know, go check out my fan page, Quentin the Hero Henry. And then on Twitter, it's the Hero Henry. And then Hero Henry on Instagram. But hit me up, find me, follow me, ask me questions. Or not, you know, just follow me and be a hater. Either way, works for me.
And ladies and gentlemen, I will definitely be posting those links on the George Kennebrew Show Facebook fan page, so you can go and follow this man. And like you said, support him, ask him questions. And even if you don't, you know, if you're hating on the guy, so what? I mean, you know, the haters, y'all are secret supporters too anyway. But nonetheless,
right.
Quentin, we thank you so much for being a part of GKS episode 39 tonight. Good luck on your fight. All the best to you, and we will talk to you soon, my brother.
Appreciate it, man. Have a good one.
All right, you too. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Quentin the Hero Henry. Be sure, if you are in the area, let me tell it to you one more time. If you are in the Bossier area at the near the Horseshoe Casino on July 27th, make sure you go and you watch that fight. Go out and support Quentin Henry, and yeah, we'll definitely have him back on here in the near future. But that's going to do it for us tonight here on GKS episode 39. Sorry we didn't get to the Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz thing tonight. We will definitely cover that next week. But until then, I'm going to go ahead and jet on up out of here. Enjoy your 4th of July and your Independence Day. I love all of you. I will talk to you all next week. Love and peace. Remember, love everybody. Adios. Bye-bye.